Oh, we're recording now, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going.
I forgot. Yeah. I forgot that you started it.
Yeah.
That's the best way for it, right?
Yeah, we got all that.
Okay. Always be recording.
ABR.
Okay. Well, I had a thing to talk to you about that I thought was fun and is insight into my wacky mind sometimes. And you guys both have been around this enough to know exactly what's going to happen.
Okay.
I'm coming off of the high of buying something on Marketplace,
ooh,
which I hope that, you know, everybody listening understands that feeling, right? Mm-hmm. It's like retail therapy is really a thing, especially when it's on Facebook Marketplace, I think.
Yeah.
So for like many years, I've been road bike interested, like bicycle.
Road bike curious, huh?
Yep, curious, yep. And I finally really got serious about like looking for them. Mm-hmm. And man, I went through the most ridiculous like decision process because I you know, I know that you do this, Colin, because you're texting me about trucks all the time too. Like,
yeah.
I'm over researching
disease
finding things and like thinking about things that are a good deal and they're terrible ideas, and like every step of the way was like painful. So I decided I wanted a gravel bike because I thought, okay, this is like a hybrid scenario. I could road bike, but I would like to maybe do like gravel, you know, gravel riding. And then I thought, okay, so I want a flat bar disc brake bike. That's what I want.
Okay.
Road bike type thing, right? Started looking into that. Well, they're out there, but they're kind of an odd breed. It seems like the flat bar ones. So then I decided, okay, I'll convert an older bike to this and like make my own.
Okay.
Not the worst idea, but like also a little bit tricky. Mainly because most older bikes don't have enough clearance for big tires. That's like the thing, right? So this whole thing. And this is like each one of these is a week probably of me like looking at YouTube videos, looking at Facebook Marketplace, looking at forum posts from 15 years ago, like all the things, you know, all the places that I know to get information at least.
Yep.
And then I decided, you know what? I think that the road bike part of this is actually the thing that I want. I think that's the thing that I will actually do. As much as the gravel thing seems interesting, I kind of live in a city and it's a little ways away from a gravel path. So, all right, I'll go to that, but I don't want to get stuck with a road only bike, because again, this is just like me or like you guys with cars. Like I can't just have it for one purpose. It's going to be,
yep.
So I'm looking at road bikes for a while. I decide I got to get a newer road bike with big enough clearance to run bigger tires. Bigger tires is the key here. Wider tires. It's always the thing. Bigger tires are always
biggest
the thing.
Tire, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotta have bigger tires.
Gotta do the biggest tire you can fit. Which once I get through this story, I have a side story. Please remind me if I don't.
How many body mounts did you have to chop?
Yeah, exactly. So I find I go through this whole path for this part's fucking 2 weeks because I'm trying to like figure out what is what that I can get used within my budget, because I'm not trying to spend $5,000 on this bike and or new that's cheaper. Well, I get all the way down the path and find there's a Canyon that just came out that is like more like slack geometry. So a little bit more relaxed, a little bit bigger, or like spacious is kind of the right word, right? More tire clearance, designed more to be like a hybrid between a gravel bike and a road bike. These are becoming like more popular now. People call them all roads, which is funny. speaking of Volkswagen podcast. And I decide that's the bike, but it's new. And because it's new, it's expensive. And I just am like, I cannot stomach buying the new one. So I decide I'll have to find a used thing or whatever, or wait for this to go on sale. I like signed up for a pro deal site as a media person so I could see if I could get a discount. I did like all the things I could think of. And I started looking for a used version of this bike. Impossible to find, it turned out. And then I fell back down. This is too much story, but I fell back down the rabbit hole of road only bike and tried to find the cheapest carbon fiber framed bike I could find. And I thought, if I set myself a a budget of a quarter of that new bike's price, basically a little bit more than that, then I could just maximize that budget, see if I like it. If I like it, good. Maybe I'll buy the new one and sell this one, whatever. I could like figure something out. And so I go through this entire thing. I finally start like messaging people, which that's the serious part for me. I don't know about you guys. Like, if I'm on Marketplace, I'm just looking at stuff. I have nearly bought 10 things already, but I haven't messaged anybody, right? Okay. You do that too. So I finally started messaging people. Wow. And I got pretty close on a couple cool carbon bikes.
Okay.
And then lo and behold, a few year old version of the bike I was looking for popped up today. So lowballed the guy a little bit, got it for my price that was the maximum of my budget, and went up, picked it up, and it's pretty cool.
Okay.
So pretty excited. The side story on the tire thing, you know what the first thing that I Googled once I locked into that bike was, right? What is the widest tire I can fit on this bike? And then when everybody said, oh, a 33 mil fits, but like, I guess you might be able to do a 35 mil. I'm obviously putting 35s or 38s on it because that's what that is. Because the first person is like, oh, these are what 33s look like on it. It's funny because it's like a tire size that we would think of, right? Mm-hmm. But like, it's 33 mils wide. And it's got like 12 millimeters of clearance on the, and I'm like, I can fit a 40. And I just,
40s don't even rub on this thing.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't turn full lock. That's fine. I'm used to that.
Yeah, we've all done that.
It was a ridiculous journey. I'll tell you, I know so much more about like group sets and tire sizes and tubeless conversions and all sorts of fun stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
So, that I promptly almost ate shit in my front, I want to call it my front yard, my front area with my clip-in shoes that I use on my like stationary bike.
Yeah.
I've
not exactly maybe, quick on the release for those.
I've maybe ridden clips twice on a real bike.
Uh-huh.
It's scary when you don't have a training wheel.
Yeah, it's a different, it's definitely a different thing. And then especially I feel like it's worse when you're doing it like that I feel like you could be as good as, you could be the best person at getting unclipped out of those things, but the anxiety of, oh shit, I need to unclip. Makes it that much worse, even though you know exactly how to do it and you can do it quickly. You've done it thousands of times quickly, but that thought of, I got to get my foot out of here.
Yeah. I think at least with, I mean, I guess you can do it with toe clips too, but toe clips terrify me and I've got more time in toe clips than anything else. Mm-hmm. But like clipless pedals, at least if you just yank, they're coming off. Like no matter what, it's something's releasing. If you just pull, doesn't matter which direction. But God, it's scary. So yeah, that's my bike story.
Yeah, that's fun though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like bikes. You like bikes. It's it is like my first, wheeled love for sure. Mm-hmm. And I just don't get a chance to do it as much as I want. And my BMX bike hurts. It just doesn't feel comfortable anymore. Like mm-hmm. the mobility in my shoulders or something, it just doesn't work. So it just isn't fun to ride. So I need something that I can get on and like pedal around and feel good about. And every time I try to do that on my mountain bike, it's like you're pedaling through mud all the time because it's got so much drag and it's so squishy. And like, if you're not on dirt, forget about it. It's stupid. So, and I'm being a baby about it, I'm sure. Well, but
plus you just look like a fucking dork. Well, yeah, mountain bikes are like the dorkiest looking ride that there is. Yeah.
Look at me on my thing. That's kind of like a weird small motorcycle. Yeah. Yeah, squishing around.
Hobbling around, yeah. That back shock kind of bounces every once in a while as you're pedaling, because your cadence isn't great. Just, yeah.
Every once in a while, that's funny. Every single time. Also,
every pedal.
I got convinced at the beginning of my mountain bike riding to run really low pressure by my professional neighbor, which is awesome on the trail, but I don't like maintain, I don't like pump up the tires to ride it on the road. So I'm riding with 20 PSI in these tires and they're just squishy as hell when the bike is squishy as hell. I think maybe 25, but still it's not a lot. So, all right, well, that's the bike hour.
It's a good hour. It's a good hour.
Yeah. We have Aaron on our Campfire Passport podcast.
Glad to be back, guys. Okay. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you. And because of that, we have a smattering of Toyota news. And I wanted to talk about cars because why not?
Well, yeah.
We like cars.
We love cars.
Good news, everyone.
And bikes.
And bikes.
And bikes.
Bikes are fun. My first off-topic thing. Did either of you see the... This is a weird social thing that I saw that it was not super well documented, but some of the stuff that I saw was cool. The Tref Punks thing. Did you... Either one of you catch wind of this?
Mm-mm. No.
Southern California, some of the old guys, like, you know, our age old guys, including Aaron. You got your
it's a big gap.
You got your Southern California guys, like your, you know, your Jason Whipple, your Brian Scotto, those kind of people. And then some of your more current, you know, Instagram-y people like Vinanatra. Shoved everything together and had a Volkswagen like cruise from LA out to, I don't remember where, north of Bakersfield, somewhere out in the woods. And they did like a camp hangout thing and came back kind of like the, what's the Chris Clewell guy does the rally thing with the Porsches. What's that called? The big drive thing. Do you know what I'm talking about, Colin?
I feel like I do. Wasn't there like a fancy video that about
Like there's been a bunch recently, of them.
And they went to, they were in Oregon.
They were in Oregon. Yep. It's like, it was kind of like that, but with, but even better because silly water cooled Volkswagens mostly, you know, there's like low VR6 Mark III and a couple, you know, Mark IIs and just cool stuff like that. Sam Dobbins, a couple East Coast guys. It was really cool though. It looked like 25, maybe 30 cars, like not huge. But I saw a bunch of videos and pictures and it just reminded me of like the kind of the good old days of, you know, our stuff and I don't know, a little nostalgic. I thought it was pretty cool. If you look up their Instagram, there are no pictures, which I found even kind of frustrating for a second because I wanted to share it. And then part of me went, damn, that's kind of cool too. That means you're doing it for you and not for, you know, not for the internet, which is undoubtedly kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, like we say, when we go camping, when you only take one or two pictures, you know, you're having a good time.
That's the best time. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Aaron, did you, I sent you a cool car project recently and you said you just sold a car. Did you mean, did you sell your Audi?
No, we sold Alex's.
You met the one before. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and Alex's.
Yeah. Okay. We sold Alex's B5. So.
Got it.
Yeah.
Is he in a normal person car?
Yeah. He's in an adult car now. He's in a 14A5.
That's barely an adult. Is it just not modified?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Overcrest Rally. Found it.
Overcrest Rally. That's it. And Overcrest like has a little wider variety of cars. It's a lot of like, some dorky E30s and shit and but
it's like the guy Porsches and... the guy that puts it on has that like multicolored 911. It's like white, blue, red.
Yeah, it's like the Magnus Walker looking outlaw.
Yeah, it looks car. Like that, yeah. But it's not Magnus's, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway.
Anyways. It's funny that you mentioned that, Aaron, because my son also got a more grown-up car recently. He sold his. He got, you might know this.
I mean,
he got hit again recently, and it wasn't his fault. I don't think this time. Hey, somebody else paid for it. So, and he just, I think, you know, I was, it's like those things. I think we've all three of us have felt this with cars. Like he seemed to be pretty done with dealing with his car, like mm-hmm. fixing it and like mm-hmm. going through all the motions. And like, he loves it. He loved it. And he liked the style stuff he'd done. And, but I think he just was so over, like the paint didn't match the way he wanted. And like, mm-hmm. he kept thinking about new this and new that. And it was like just a whole thing. So mm-hmm. anyways, he sold it and he got a, that's funny because the year is almost the same. It's like a 14.3 series and it's stock. And he seems to be confident that it will stay stock until maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, but you know what he did?
He's immediately confident after? In that because he has no money, or he's exactly. confident in that yeah. because.
And okay. then he found a set of BC coils recently for like super cheap and was like, oh, I think I'm going to buy these.
This
and
is
like,
how, dude, that's how, this is how it happens. Yep.
It's slippery slope.
This is how it starts. There's no stopping it now.
He seems to be enjoying having a car that's, you know, regular mm-hmm. otherwise, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's got fancy newer. I mean, his car was not old, but like
no. yeah.
slightly newer car things. I don't know. It's a sickness that we have passed on that they both think that a normal adult car is a depreciated luxury car.
That's right.
Yes. From a European car manufacturer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you'd think we would have learned enough to be like, hey, maybe you should get a Camry.
Yeah.
I told him for a while, I was like, dude, just get a Camry.
Yeah. If you want a regular car,
yeah. just we were running a Corolla? Super great lease on Corollas, and I was really trying to talk Alex into it and just to help him build his credit and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
don't
can't do it, gotta have something cool, even though it's stock. Yeah, yep.
It's the way it goes.
Yeah, the parts pile. He's already he just bought springs for it and got himself some sway bars. And I'm not helping you with this. Until spring, at a minimum, you know, he said, yeah. I'm not doing anything to your car. I'm not touching it. So, I think he got the hint.
That's why you need a VR6 Cabrio project in the garage. Yeah. You can tinker on that and you can tell him there's no room. I'm sorry. Look at this. Garage I got this car scattered all over the garage because, you know, I've taken it apart and I'm doing chains and 2.9 manifold and whatever. Like, it's not. This is serious maintenance I'm doing here.
Right.
I look at Mark III's all the time, by the way. There's Euro ones keep popping up. They finally mm-hmm. are like trickled into the States enough yeah. that you'll find them. There's one in Florida right now, a two-door. It's like a 1.88 valve car, but it's a black color concept GTI. So it's black leather, kind of mm-hmm. like the high spec interior stuff.
Yeah.
Textured outside stuff, not my favorite, but it's a sick car. And it's like, I think it's like 9,000 or 10,000, which is, you know,
a lot for a Mark III.
But, yeah, I can almost justify the thought that that's like,
mm-hmm.
the problem is, to me, it doesn't feel special like the bug, you know? It feels mm-hmm. like a crappy Volkswagen. So I wouldn't want to just have that.
It's an economy car, Sean. What did you have?
And I would also not want to have it in addition to the car that I have because there's no room. So I'm like, what does this even serve? Like, it's.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like super stoked to go take that to dinner, I don't think. It's a weird thing to say, but like, it's just not like the Audi, your car, Colin. Yeah. It feels special, I think. It's like kind of more vintage and it's nice. And like, I'm into that. And again, bug, I get that. Newer Audi, I get that. Like, Mark III is. I love them so much though.
Yeah. Well, it's because so you haven't done the things that you need to do to it to then feel that way about it. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's plenty of Mark II people out there that would have that same. It's a economy Volkswagen from the 80s. It's a Mark II. It's kind of boring. But then when you've done a bunch of stuff to it, like John Stairs, for example. Sure. It's like, okay, it is, it's kind of cool to take it out every once in a while and just do something in it that isn't car something, you know?
I liked my Mark II for car things, like cars and coffee and things like that. But the things that I thought were fun about taking it to those things was a little bit, I mean, not like the craziest thing in the world, but like eye-catching, like color and color mm-hmm. match wheels and all those things. Like, I thought that was fun for those things.
Mm-hmm.
But taking that car to the grocery store on Sunday morning was annoying as hell because one, it's a stiff old, you know, crappy Volkswagen, but two, it, the attention is all of a sudden not my favorite thing. It's fun.
Hey man, cool car.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is when you've done a car like that, it's, you're only going to get attention. I know. So
yeah, it, I mean, I just got to ride with it, man. Yeah. Definitely a big dude magnet, that car.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there, really isn't nice. There's that whole meme about how cars is like the gayest thing we do. It's yeah. Like we do all spend all this time building just cars for, just, and for, just to have dudes come and tell us they really like it, you know?
That's the only reason we do it.
It's the only reason. And honestly, like, I mean, it's not untrue. Like, I take the Audi out, at, like you said, for a grocery trip and things like that. And it's like, if I get home and I haven't, like, gotten a reaction from someone, I'm like, wow, I guess nobody noticed me. All right. Well, that's kind of weird. Cause, like, on average, I get at least one person that I, like, hear in the background say something about it as I'm walking yep. away, or I get a thumb up out of the window or yep. something along those lines, you know? Like, and it's like, yeah, it's nice to hear, I guess. I'm not like I'm looking for it. I like the car, you know, I yeah, did the car
for me.
Of course,
you did it for you.
But yeah. I think my favorite, though, is when kids like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when cool. kids come by and like a kid will be like, that's cool. And he's like, and he's not even a teenager. Like he's like a kid, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's when I was a kid, I would see cars that I thought was cool. And like, that's what makes you interested yeah. to find out about them. And so it's like, if I can help to pass that on for the next generation of nerdy car kids, then
I think
sweet.
That's,
yeah.
That is kind of one of the ultimate things. It's funny you mentioned the, like, you get home and nobody has said anything. I do that with the bug sometimes. It mm-hmm. bothers me if I'm, and like, I take to a Cars and Coffee or whatever, like a little show here and there, but like, a lot of times I'm just like going to get my hair cut or something. Like it's mm-hmm. not very far away. It's fun for me to drive. I like it. I'm really doing it for me, of course. But like, you know, I'm in traffic in a tiny little bug that's really low. People pay attention most of the time. And it is disappointing when I go on a like 5 mile journey and I come back and I'm basically, people are just annoyed with me because I'm kind of slower and my blinkers aren't as bright or something. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
what's this angle he's taking to get in here?
Yeah. Like, get off the road, hippie. What's all that noise? Like, I'm just like, okay. Yeah. Sometimes I get like people that like tailgate me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you not see what I'm driving here? Like, the answer is no, they don't. They have zero understanding. They are in their Altima and mm-hmm. they do not care. So anyways.
That's the truth.
I have some news. Yeah, I have some news. Ready okay. for news?
Sure.
Yeah.
Good news, everyone.
The Autopian ran an article, car brands and colors that get pooped on most. I thought I'd lead with that.
I'm like
not going to screen share because it's kind of a short article and doesn't really, the pictures don't really matter that much. But
when you
I
say
thought it was really fun
on,
to,
do you mean
actually
oh, sorry,
pooped on
by birds?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. That's what I was.
That is, yeah. So there was a survey of over 1,000 car owners mm-hmm. published this month by Allen's Factory Outlet, a garage and car port company. I don't know, but whatever.
Well, because they're selling, you got to protect
good point.
Your car.
Good point. Yep.
Yeah.
So this is another blow to Stellantis. The survey says its brands lead the way for vehicles that are most pooped on. Specifically, it's Ram trucks that take the number one spot, followed by Jeep in second place.
Morgan.
With Chevrolet as a whole, I guess, rounding out the top three. Follow the link for the full list. I didn't actually look at that, but I'm going to look at it right now while I tell you what the most common color to get pooped on is. Do you know what that might be, either one of you?
Boy.
I'm going to guess white.
Okay.
I'm going to go gray, but strictly because of how many cars are gray now.
Well, that's actually both of those are the bottom of the list.
Wow. Really?
I picked white because it seems like my car gets pooped on all the time.
I mean, I just had two. I just had two shits on my truck the other day.
Well, it's blue, so.
Oh, that's true. It's blue, not gray. You're right. My apologies.
There's actually a study in the UK apparently done years ago that found that red is the most common color. But this survey actually has red in number two. Brown is number one. Not a lot of explanation as to why. Brown. But yeah, red, brown, and black drew the most unwanted attention from above. So,
brown. I don't feel like there's that many brown cars really to be is. Able yeah. to like take
out of a thousand cars
per thousand. Maybe like that's how they figure it out. Per thousand brown cars. It's there. I don't know. I hate black cars though, so they deserve all the poop.
they're
great when
the
they're great,
to
but
deal
when
with.
They're yeah, but when they're bad, you know, when it gets bad, it's real bad. I just and speaking of black cars, since you brought it up, there's this house that I drive by every day on my way to work, and I just think, wow, he's making up for how myself and Tyson and probably a few others refuse to own or buy a black car because that's all he has is black cars. He's got a black Q7. He's got a black H2 or H3. I can't remember. They're stupid either way. a black Raptor and a black Mercedes, newish sedan of some kind. But
I was
like,
hoping this guy was going to go for like 34 seats in all these cars because it sounds like three row is at least half of them. So
yeah, well, but I can't believe it. Every time I drive, and he parks all of them outside. There might be more in the garage. I don't know, but like when they're all parked out front, I just have to laugh to myself. Like, wow, this guy really likes black cars. That's all he buys. He's buying all of them so that Tyson and I don't have to. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, he's doing you a favor.
Yeah, I've owned one, and that was the last one I'll ever own.
Same. I've only ever owned one. Yeah,
I've had. Two.
Mm-hmm. Namely two. The Jetta. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of them was was mostly satiny flat black, my bug. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of, it was a mix. A mix of different sheens.
It was a patina situation. So a little
and that
different.
One was very easy to take care of because I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But the Jetta, it was, it looked great when it was good, though. And I still hang on to that part. I still have like the hope.
I agree.
And also,
when they look good, they look great. But I don't want to deal with it
right now. Where like I feel like I could own one. Like I feel like if my bug now was black and it was glossy, it'd be fine because I don't really drive it in the rain because the windshield wipers suck, and I don't have anywhere to go when it's raining. I take it out to dinner. I take it to Cars and Coffee. Like I do all the dumb old guy car stuff and it sits in the garage otherwise. And you know what I do in between? I wipe down with quick detailer. And it's white.
After every drive.
So, yeah. I did that with the Montana Green GTI too. Not every drive, but like I just put it in the garage, and when I put it in the garage, I'd wipe it down. And then when I took it out next time, I didn't have to worry about it. And I never had to wash it because it never got dirty enough that it mattered until we would go to like, whatever, you go to the Valley and back, and then sure, I'd wash it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not like crazy detail guy, like with the foam cannon and all that fun stuff, but I don't know. I could see myself slipping into that.
I could definitely see myself slipping into that. I think the only reason I haven't slipped into that yet with the Audi is because it had to sit in the driveway for like a 6-month period and it's just fucked. So I have to, once I am able to pay somebody to actually bring it back to its glory, then I'm probably absolutely going to be that guy. Cause I'm already like, if it's raining, I'm not going to drive it. If the road is wet, I don't want to drive it because I probably just cleaned it. And now it's like, if I drive it, it's going to spray shit all over the side and I'm going to be upset about it as soon as I get back. You know, I had to drive. So I drove it to Portland to go to that concert with Jesse Turnstile, because Turnstile's rad. And I drove it back and it didn't rain on my drive back, but it had rained on the pass. And so, yeah, water spray all down the side of it.
Got to be really far away from the other cars.
Yep, I'm backed way off. But even then, you know, my car throws up its own spray. And so, yeah, the whole back half is dirty. And I'm just like, God damn, now I got to actually wash it again.
It's funny because, like, part of me, like, takes the stance of, like, oh, you should just drive it no matter what. But, like, I don't enjoy driving it in that weather is my thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not want to go with it. I would rather drive my dirty, crappy Land Cruiser or my wife's car that's really nice. Like, I have no interest in, like, using my windshield wipers that stop right in front of my face and come back and they don't do anything. They just make it so I can't even tell if it's better, to be honest, when they're on. Smear, I got caught out in the rain recently and I was like, this is stupid. Yeah, pretty good. Other news things. I got a text message from my friend Brendan today. I have no idea if Brendan listens to the podcast, but he might. But he sent me a message today. He said, hey, what do you think about the new GX550? I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Brendan's looking at a new car. He's kind of a Toyota Lexus guy. He's had like RAV4. He wanted a 4Runner. He does normal cars for the most part these days. He's a car guy, but yep, Audi coupe. Also great Del Sol. SR Swap 240. He's got a resume. It's pretty okay.
He's got a resume.
But now he's a, you know, he's a responsible dad with a good job, and he's got
dad cars. Okay.
Yeah, he's got a Jeep Wrangler 4xe with, like, I think it may have 35s on it, a little lift. Like, it actually is pretty good looking. Methods, like, it's nice. Mm-hmm. Car guy, you know, but not like he's not wheeling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many ducks are there in the dash?
I'm sure there's no ducks, and I'm sure he's taking it on dirty roads when he's hunting or fishing. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways, he sends me a text. What do you think about the GX? And I'm like, yeah, I like the GX. Have you driven one? No, I haven't driven one. But I've been inside one. They're pretty nice. Okay, cool. Went back and forth. What do you think about it versus Land Cruiser? I think that it's probably better. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a big jumping price though. That's basically what I said. You know, if you could get the lowest priced, if you're looking at the highest priced Land Cruiser, I'd get the lowest price GX instead. Like, that's where I would make that distinction, because they're similar options, better car, a little bit better engine, back and forth. And one thing I learned, by the way, Aaron, I'm sure knows this, but both the Land Cruiser, the GX, and the 4Runner are all made in Japan still.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he brought up that I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Anyways, all this leads into, well, I think I'm going to get rid of my Jeep. And I was like, oh, why? I thought you liked your Jeep. I do like my Jeep. But it almost killed me the other day. It's like, okay. This is by text message too. So I'm just like working and going, oh, geez, what happened? Apparently it turned off in a roundabout. Just shut down. He had done an over-the-air update, and there's an issue that they ran into. There's a story I found on Car and Driver from just like a week ago that basically they just turn off after this update. And it's only the hybrid. And sometimes it sounds like it's only the hybrid drive. Sometimes it's the whole thing, but randomly turns off. So you can imagine in a corner with a Jeep JL and bigger tires, that would suck.
Yeah.
So he is apparently looking at different cars.
How does he like the ads that it plays?
I was going to ask that as the funny part, but I didn't get there actually. Yeah, you know, I think he told me that he has gotten on his commute something like 40 miles to the gallon before in this thing, by the way.
Okay.
Because because
it's got enough electric for on a commute.
It's got quite a bit. Yeah, it's got a lot of electric range, but it's not enough for his entire commute. So he plugs it in at home. He plugs it in at work, I'm pretty sure.
Double plugging.
And he's just getting, I mean, he's just raking it in because he's not paying for that charging at work. So it makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that it was it's not interesting that it's a known thing, but I was surprised to actually find, like, oh geez, this is like a thing that's happening. And I didn't find out about it by looking at Car and Driver. I found out about it because I got the message from my friend. I was like, hey, my car almost killed me. Speaking of Land Cruiser. Speaking of Land Cruiser, they make they're making a little one. This is kind of our like.
I still haven't seen it. I made a point of not looking at it. That way, I could be surprised.
Okay,
by
let me
the
ask you this
here.
Do you want the stock generated image, or do you want the one that shows it in action?
Well, obviously in action.
All right.
Why would I? Yeah.
Let me see if I can find that one first. Because
I'm picturing Mini Pajero.
Okay. Yeah.
That's here's what I'm picturing.
I've not seen anybody say yet, but the first thing that came to my mind, I'm actually going to let you see it before I say it because I don't want to plant any. Look at that little thing. Jeep Renegade is what I think
it
of.
Does, yeah, it does have that. For
you
sure.
know what the thing is that blew me away, though? If you scroll through and look at the photos of it, let's see if we can get to... Look at that little guy. It's tough. It's officially, I think, called the Land Cruiser FJ, which is kind of interesting, but whatever. Designed off of the same chassis as that the little tiny pickup truck, the Hilux Champ. It's got a square headlight and a round headlight option.
Well, of
typical
course.
Land Cruiser stuff. But... Oh, let me switch the this Car and Driver article. The interior, maybe I'm crazy, but it is a dead ringer of the 250 Land Cruiser. It's just little. It's the same steering wheel, the same shifter. It's got the start stop button on the dash, like in the same spot. Am I crazy or is that the same interior? Or really similar?
Yeah, that feels pretty similar. I mean, it makes sense to just reuse stuff from the other truck, you know?
I don't know. I could be totally wrong. It is pretty small, though. Mm. And that is what they're saying is the reason, as far as I read it, Aaron, that they're not going to bring it. Because based on that Hilux Champ, which we're not getting, and it's really small. It's like 18 inches shorter than the 250. It's just very small. It's a little car. Hmm. It also has a fairly big engine. It's like a 2.7 four cylinder or something.
Mm-hmm. Non-turbo.
Which I thought was, it's turbo?
No, non-turbo.
Non-turbo. Okay. That's why it's a big displacement four cylinder with no force. I don't know.
Back of it is weird looking.
Mm-hmm. It is weird looking.
They kind of, I don't know if, what they did there. That's weird.
I should say weirder
than the rest looks, I should say. The back is the weirdest looking part.
I'm not going to lust after this car by any means, but it's kind of cooler than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I think. I don't know. Yeah.
Some of the renderings for like when they were calling it the FJ Hopper, some of those were pretty, in my opinion, were pretty ugly looking and not.
It was great for that back end.
Yeah.
It's real weird.
Really look bad.
Yeah. It doesn't have a window there, but if you look at that interior picture, it's got like a spot where the window would be. Where'd it go? There's like an indent back there. You see that?
Yeah.
Hmm. Like it's really odd.
There should be a window there. I wonder what they put there instead.
Maybe a first aid kit, like an Xterra.
Xterra,
yeah. There you go.
There'd be a bump also, on the outside of the body for that, though.
The other thing that was surprising to me, it's part-time four-wheel drive. It is not like, it's not like a car. Mm-hmm. It is like a little truck.
Yep.
Which was very surprising.
Body on frame.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I don't know the, like, Asian truck market, so, like, I'm not trying to pretend I'm any sort of expert here. Maybe this is common, but like I was surprised. Like this seems more like a Jimny competitor than anything. Which is kind of cool. It's like super surprising. And obviously we're just, you know, it's forbidden tiny fruit. we're just not gonna get it. But kind of an interesting little thing. I don't know what you do with it. Just drive it, I guess.
Yeah, just commuter.
Yeah.
Commuter that you can continue to commute in the winter because it's got all-wheel drive or whatever, you know?
Yeah, four-wheel drive. Maybe it's like a 79 series. You got to use a special tool to lock the hubs.
To lock the hub, yeah. Got to get the wrench out to lock the hub.
yeah, it's It's an interesting. Well, this is the full Land Cruiser lineup in this photo. This is kind of nice. You got your. Mm-hmm. We get one of these. That's kind of. Yeah.
Are they doing the bikes too? Is that
what's I think you probably on? Get the bike in the U.S. if you try hard. Easier to import.
Maybe. Maybe that's what folds up into that little pocket there.
Ooh,
in the back.
Ooh, good thinking, maybe. Aaron. Includes maybe. A bike to do extra.
This one's
commuting.
On Mars or something. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it seems like. Overwhelmingly, people were pretty stoked about it. When I saw the commentary today, I was kind of surprised. I think we talked about this at some point on a different podcast. Like the there's like that thing that if you can't get it, it's kind of cooler for some reason. I don't know why, but it's just kind of a thing. Like a boring spec, you know, LS400, a Celsior or whatever is like it's cooler just because we didn't get it the same way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That crappy 1.88 valve Mark III I was talking about.
Yeah, they also kind of are cool, though. That's like, is there, they're different. That, like, I don't know about the Celsior or like a President being able to be in that group because those are just generally cars. Cool. Like, there's just enough different that is like, that's really cool.
I almost use Crown as an example, but then I just realized it's kind of a weird example because it's like a V12 like luxury car. Of course, it's cool. Why would it? Yeah. You know, why would it not be cool?
Yeah. The ones that are like little styling cues that are actually different. That's good. But like, so if I would here's the comparison you maybe should have made was a Soarer, or the Lexus, whatever SC350, right?
300, 400.
That's right. Because the 400 was the V8s, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so those, because those are practically the same. Or how about an Altezza?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Different engines, again.
Yeah, but like they're, the U.S. market is basically exactly the same aside from badging. And it's like, no. Those I don't have any like, that's really cool because it's, you know, it's actually an Altezza. It's like, no, it's the same car. Doesn't do it for me. But if it's something that actually is a different car that has different styling cues and things like that, those are cool. That is where that comes from.
That makes sense. Other Toyota news. Aaron shared all this, by the way. I'm going to credit Aaron with all of this because it's all
good. Nice.
I had a few minutes stuff. Today.
Yeah.
Cite your sources.
We actually, I think I remembered talking about this. There is a new RAV4 and it is, it's like here. It's people are testing it. So it's probably, you know, if it's not on the lot, it will be in the next couple months. And I think it's a pretty good upgrade. I think it looks good. I kind of always like the RAV4, so I'm like, it's like one of my boring car, what's the word I'm looking for? Dirty, like guilty pleasures. Lexus RX and Toyota RAV4 are kind of like my two really boring old person car things that I like. But this one looks pretty good. They have kind of the standard crap, right? Like a front wheel drive and all wheel drive, hybrid, non-hybrid. And they have like an off-roady looking one, the Adventurous Hybrid.
Yep.
No, that's not a model, is it?
It's the Woodland, I believe.
Woodland, that sounds right. It's got custom drive settings. But the most exciting is the GR. They have a GR version. It's pretty cool looking.
Okay.
Here's the kicker, 324 horsepower. That's not bad. Like this would probably, I mean, it's probably considerably quicker than, you know, a Q5 or an X3 or something like that. So I think that's pretty cool.
I mean, if it's made by Toyota Gazoo Racing, I mean,
that's right.
Obviously.
Yeah. Hey, they're an F1 sponsor too. So, you know, they know what they're doing. Yeah, pretty cool stuff. Obviously big miles per gallon on that thing too. A lot of really nice interior stuff. It's got GR on the headrest, so you know that's great. Woodland. There you are. Rugged design for the Woodland. But no Woodland pictures. Oh, it's core. Hold on. Let me see if I can get the Woodland here. That's going to be the one that's relevant for our midsize truck podcast audience. That's not that didn't look rugged at all. Yeah, this is it. It's kind of got a TRD Pro thing going on.
Different roof rails.
Look at that. That's actually pretty cool. It's way better than the Outback Wilderness, that's for sure.
I mean, it's got a little bit of the 4Runner double mustache, double holster going on there. Like they just tweaked it just a hair. That, like, from a distance, it's going to look like the Hulkster double mustache, but it doesn't quite have it.
I think it's kind of better looking than the 4Runner. It's different, but better.
I think I could give that to you. Yeah, I'd allow you to make that argument.
I'm glad that you made the call, and it's allowed. I mean, kind of boring. It is what it is, but it's not something that any of us care that much about, but I thought it was interesting to cover because you're going to see a bajillion of these things.
And probably, I
think it's our number one seller.
RAV4, huh?
That makes perfect sense.
I mean, for
sense.
The area, that makes a ton of sense. Everybody going to the mountain and all of that, you know.
Oh, here you go.
This is tires on it. This is the news, yeah. So for SEMA, Toyota is bringing the 2026 Toyota Corolla Cross Nasu edition.
Nasu.
Adventure ready. Look at that thing. Got it's like Mystic Chrome paint scenario going on. Some Toyo all terrains. Pretty sick. I can't wait. I'll be on the ground. I'll take some pictures.
Ooh, yeah. Make we're sure gonna have boots on the that. Ground there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could do a live podcast with this.
just the car. Around, yeah.
I could just talk to it. I could definitely get a Toyota person for that, but I don't know if we want to waste our time for that. Does that mean, Aaron, do they have a woodland spec Corolla Cross? Is that a thing? Do you know?
I don't believe so. I think the Corolla Cross just has a couple of trim levels. I don't think they've branched out too far on those.
It's weird because the Corolla Cross, like, I knew it existed and I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. And then I kept seeing them and thinking, oh, that's a weird looking RAV4. Oh, that's not a RAV4. It's a Corolla Cross.
It's even smaller.
Yeah. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
No. We all said the same thing when it first came out. It was like,
It's like nothing like making an HRV competitor, but HRVs don't sell. So
yeah,
that's a weird call.
Yeah.
Let's try something else.
Yeah. I was listening to the Doug DeMuro podcast recently, and he went on this tirade for like three different episodes about Honda and how they have everything possible to make a 4Runner competitor. And they don't do it. They just don't. And 4Runners, you know, it's like they've sold like 4 million of them or something in last model run. And they're really not like that. They're not technologically advanced. They're not like, they're really just body on frame SUVs that are reliable and like semi good looking and have off-road features. But like Honda just says, no, thanks. We don't want to do that. Like we have all of the things. And instead, we'll sell CRVs at like 10% of what, you know, they can sell a 4Runner for because they just will not let go of the fact that that's like their core product that they would sell. Like, hey, we're going to make a pickup truck. Okay, cool. Is it going to be a Tacoma competitor? Yeah. Well, then we get the Ridgeline, which is not even close. This is a pilot-based front-wheel drive unibody pickup. Yeah. Thanks. And nobody buys it.
No.
But whatever. It's what they want.
We do our own thing.
They do their own thing. And they're still here.
Yeah.
They're still here. They make great lawnmowers too.
Yeah.
So just a little tidbit. Cast lawnmower. Highly suggest Honda. Morgan knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's the Morgan bit. Yeah.
I can hear him now.
Hey, damn right.
That's right. Colin, did you have something you wanted to cover before we get into?
Yeah, I've got an interesting story, and I have visual aids for my story as well. So there is this Disco 2 that I've seen a couple of times running around, and I was like, oh, it looks like it's kind of built up, kind of cool. Okay. So I randomly come across it it's for sale all of a sudden, just like not a month after like I see it for the first time, right? And I'm just like, oh, that's kind of funny that it would just randomly pop up for sale too. So first, I'll give you that because, you know, why not? We might as well look at it. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's a, visual 90, aid. It's a 99 Disco 2 and in good condition, yada, yada. It says it has a 6-inch lift and whatever, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. That none of that really matters too much at this point. It's got some questionable things done, like visually.
Looks yeah, nice inside.
Nice power cord down there.
Random thing. Yeah.
But overall, it's like it seems, you know, fairly okay. But the thing that had me questioning some things here was initially the ad said that it had a Chevy 4.3 V8 swap in it, but there's no pictures of the engine bay. One very odd choice of swap engine. That,
wait a minute. Did they say 4.3 V8 or 4.3 V6?
4.3 V8.
Okay.
So weird, literally okay. Like it's like a 3 or 4 year in the Caprices is like the,
that's like old, that's a real thing.
Yeah. That's the, oh. It's referred to as the baby LT on the internet.
That's why I was so confused when you were texting me. I thought you were talking about a V6.
Oh no, mm-hmm. no. It's this is a V8. It's, and it does exist. It's like it's the original L99. Which I know the L90 now is something else, but, but yeah. So, and then it says, you know, like I said, it says 6-inch lift. This doesn't look like 6 inches to me, but also there isn't such thing as that. So he would have had to do a ton of weird stuff to make this happen. So the curiosity got the better of me. I don't know how interested I am in actually buying this vehicle, but I had to know what was going on here. Okay.
Sure.
So, let me go back. There we go. Okay. So my message to him initially was, hey, can you just give me some additional, you know, details, pictures on the engine swap? I'm just curious. And like I said, he's like a high schooler. I'll get those to you when I get home from school. He sends me these pictures. Now these pictures depict a Disco 2 engine. 100% stock. There is no obvious anything that would say that this is not a Disco 2 engine.
Mm-hmm.
100% yeah. Land Rover, like everything. Okay. So then I wasn't even going to say anything. I wasn't going to respond after seeing that. I was just like, okay, this guy's an idiot, whatever. He then chooses to send me a message saying, anything else you need? And so I said, well, a little confused because the ad says it has an engine swap and that's a stock engine. And he says, no, it's from a Chevy. Stock is 4.0. I proceed to send him a stock Disco 2 engine bay from the internet and say, same. And then he says, bro, you can't see the motor in any of these. I don't know what you're trying to argue. It's the same shit on top, but the motors are different. And so I said, so you're telling me that the factory manifolds and accessories and coolant lines just bolt up to a Chevy 4.3? And I said, and Land Rover valve covers just bolt on to 4.3 heads? So I sent him a picture of a Chevy 4.3 V8. That I, again, found on the internet. Pretty easily Googleable. Notice your valve covers are cast, not stamped, and are vertical. Chevy 4.3s are stamped bolts through the middle and not on the edges and sit at an angle. Discos classically sit straight up and down. Like the valve covers, as you can see here, are flat on the top. Like that's how they fucking sit. So here we say, I understand the people we bought it from are sending us all the things they did to it. We were originally told that there was a Chevy engine in it and we're confused to why they told us that, and you're proving that there's not. So amazingly, this guy is admitting he actually doesn't know what he's talking about. I couldn't believe it. So some shop in Burbank, California that rebuilds Rovers and Jeeps apparently did all this. And then he's, and then I said, what all did you do for the lift? Cause that was my other curiosity. Because I said, I'm fine with it being a Land Rover engine, by the way, I'm just attempting to get the details about what's going on. Correct.
Got it. Okay.
And what then that's what I said, is about? what all did you do for the lift? And he says, it's a Terra Firma lift. So then I said, I haven't gotten a response to this end part, so we'll, this will keep going. But I just thought that just the beginning is enough for the story, you know. And I said, interesting. Yeah, not trying to yuck anyone's yum here. I'm just curious what's going on. Some confusion since you are just giving me the info you've been given is understandable. So, this is like third person down the line. Somebody said something. And then I asked, were there spacers added with the springs? Because Terra Firma maxes out at 4 inches of lift with their springs, and they don't even offer them anymore, which is true. They offer 2-inch springs for discos, for disco twos, and that's it. You can get a 4-inch spring, but you have to get it through another supplier who gets them custom made from Terra Firma, and then they include in the kit a drive shaft and like extended links and all these things that you have to have. Otherwise with a 4, everything just binds and you can't fucking do anything with the truck. So haven't got a response on that, but it was a very interesting interaction. And it's such a car guy interaction, obviously, because the fact that he obviously isn't a car person to believe that is a Chevy engine in there, and it just looks like a stock engine. He's probably never seen another you know, disco engine bay. Like, he probably just assumed that that's what that was, right? So the only thing I can think from this is I had to look this up, but there was back in the day. It was the 90s, but you know, back in the day, there was a 4.3 Rover engine, but it was only used in the TVRs, which we didn't get over here, obviously. Yeah. Well, so
that wasn't the Buick, was it?
No, it's still a Buick engine. Yeah, okay. it's all based on a Buick engine.
Okay.
But I was going to say that's the other vertical valve cover thing. That is obviously a Buick V8. But.
Yeah. So the thing was there was also in the Range Rovers for a very short period of time, there was a 4.2. And the engine in the TVR is exactly the same. They just rounded up instead of rounding down. So that's the only way. And the only other difference was that TVR apparently did like head work. Like they poured it and polished it and shit like that. And then said, oh, now it's a 4.3 instead of a 4.2. But it started as a Range Rover 4.2 that they did some work, extra work to, and then put it in their TVRs and called it a 4.3. So my only thought is like maybe this place in Burbank or whatever did that work to a Range Rover 4.2 and then called it a 4.3. And then somewhere along the line, somebody said Chevy something.
Yeah.
And that's where it got confused.
That's crazy.
So I still don't know what exactly is going on. And I'm hoping that he will message me when he finds out what all is going on. But the best part was his realization of it, because he changed the ad mid-conversation. I got a notification in the conversation that says the ad has been updated. So I go and look, and he pulled the Chevy off but left the 4.3 V8 in there. So there's something going on here. I don't know what it is, but I would like to know. But it's just one of those, like, because we've all seen it. We've all had somebody in our lives tell us that something was true about a certain vehicle, and we ask for proof, and that proof is given with the thought of, it was actually proof, and it was not proof.
Yeah.
I can think of a couple notable examples of this.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is, my friend. Yes, there is.
We can leave those. Have you bought anything? So, like, my Mark II is a really good example. I was just thinking of talking about that earlier, of something where the guy had no idea what he had. So he, like, would say, yeah, it's got like this. And I'm like, whatever, man. Like, I'm taking the car anyways. And I get it home and I start taking it apart. And I'm like, what the hell? How did you not realize that this has a Mark III rear beam in it?
I've been told, yeah, it's got a limited slip diff. And then I go to take it apart. Sure doesn't. Nope. What do you mean? It's a GTS. It was my Corolla.
GTS. Yeah.
It's a GTS. Of course it's got a limited slip. And I was like, dude, just because it says GTS on the car doesn't mean somebody didn't steal the fucking diff out of it. Like, they could have swapped an axle with an SR5.
Yep.
Easy peasy. And guess what? That's what happened.
Yep.
Somebody got a good deal there. Uh-huh. It wasn't you.
And it wasn't you, bud. You paid for a GTS and didn't get one.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, speaking of paying for stuff.
Money.
Do you want to start, Sean?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I can start.
All right. Let's see.
What do you want me to start with? Put you in the hot seat this time.
Put me in the hot seat. Most Volkswagen-y, because it is the Volkswagen podcast.
Okay. That's going to be the car.
Okay. Well, yeah.
It's not a Volkswagen, but it is.
It's as close as we're going to get. So.
This is a 1972 Mercedes 250 CE. That's right. That's a coupe, two-door, hardtop scenario, no post.
Dark green.
If you're interested, please come take a look. If the ad is up, it's available. No ball or no low balls.
Okay.
Hardly any rust.
Ooh, which is
hardly
code for it has some rust. Interior's perfect, pretty much. Engine is in great shape. I had a shop do a bunch of work, filters, brakes, carb work, new suspension, springs, H&R, lowering by 2 inches. So I don't know. It does, I guess it is lowered. It looks really good. I don't know why you would buy springs for a car like this and not just cut them, because they're outboard springs that are not progressive rate at all, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, it's probably the right way to do it. Anyways, it says it's a perfect car for someone that's wanting to paint the desired color of the car down the road. Interior and mechanical is in good shape. It's a perfect color. I don't know why.
Why are we painting this?
But yeah, it's kind of honest looking little driver car.
I mean, I guess it's got some patina maybe on it, but like
maybe
still.
These cars age so well, not only like the design of them, but like the interiors are always
with the baby.
Interiors are in great shape a lot of the time, even when they're not perfect. And I don't know, it's a sweet car. I really like it. I recently saw one of these on wires and air suspension, and I was very into it. So good car. I would pay money for it, by the way. Spoiler.
I gotta say, that makes two of us.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
Love an old Benz.
Yeah, and we're gonna do the trifecta here, because I would too. It's for me, it's being a two-door.
I like them in a. It's cool. I like them in a four-door, but God, the two-door is good.
Yeah, that's cool. Very cool. Okay, so let's see. I think where I'm going to start is the very top. The tippy top.
Tippy top.
Because it's a 2024 Ultra 4 4400. $115,000. So, you know, it's this or...
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. So far, or you get an RV, I don't know. But, you know, it's a Exile Fabrication built U4 car, 2-inch chromoly TIG welded, LS7. Holley Terminator, Race Pack Dash, Maximum Off-Road 4L80E, the Super 80, Atlas race case, Spider Tracks mm-hmm. rear housing with 300M axles, damn. Gearworks 10 inch,
oh my God.
617s, oh PSP my God. Front housing, Gearworks 10 inch, same thing,
300M,
Fox 2.5 bypass,
and coilover.
Coilover. And then the back is the same, 3 plus 4.4 bypasses and 2.0 bumps. 5 20-inch forged race lines with 42-inch nittos. 45-gallon fuel cell, because this is for the long desert races.
Yeah, also, it's a 427, so it's not getting great mileage. Full rim. When you're averaging 4.
CBR coolers, coolant engine trans power steering, Switch Pros 12 dual aeromotive A1000 fuel pumps, KC roof and rock lights, Ba Designs front light bar, new, not pictured, Momo seats, PRP belts, Maxima oils in everything, 115K or trade. So if anybody's got any, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's exactly looking for, but I mean, and here he is on the coast because he is located in Tillamook. So he obviously took it out to Sand Lake.
You know that meme that's like, if I won the lottery, I wouldn't tell anyone, but there'd,
there'd be signs. Yeah.
I think that's kind of silly, but this is a prime example of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have often dreamed about this exact scenario. Buying a used Ultra 4 car as a like off-road toy sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a side-by-side that you can that's way faster and you can use it for everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can go to the beach and you can do sand runs. You can actually race it. You can wheel it. You can
I think everything. It wouldn't be a stretch to figure out how to put like a collector plate or something on one of these too. And then you could drive it to the trail. All
right.
Or the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. There's this 9-inch. That's, man, wild. A short little video walk around of it here. You know, it's just.
I'm going to be honest. Even though I absolutely love it, it is not the best looking Ultra 4 car.
It is a little ugly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why I picked it, because it tempts you, but then it's like, it looks a little off.
Yeah.
I 100% would have it. No doubt. I don't like the red wheel. There's many things I don't like, but also
it's an Ultra 4 car.
There's many things I do like. Mm-hmm. They start with that LS7 and end with 4-inch bypasses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere in the middle it's 42s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's a nice little bonus.
Yeah. So what is that a yes then, Sean?
I'm a yes, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't clear.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, I don't want to break our run, but it's a yes from me as well.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aaron, you going to talk some sense into us here, or are you going to?
Yeah, what's the practicality level for this? Well,
as many people out there who are listening might not know, I just turned 50 here recently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my midlife crisis is kicking pretty hard. Okay. So I'm all in. Let's go,
all
boys.
All right. Yes. Aaron's getting an Ultra 4 car, everybody.
I want to see you flat toe that behind your 100 series. Just taking it to the trail, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal, guys. I really don't want to beat up the Land Cruiser on the trail right now, so I'm going to take this out.
Oh, man.
All right, what do you got for us, Sean?
Well, that's going to be hard to do.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I know. I came in real hot. Came in real hot. I know.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, a couple of times ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, there was one of these that we looked at that was in really bad shape. Oh. This is an 87 4x4 Tiger GT. Mm-hmm. It's slightly better than the last one we saw.
Okay, yeah.
They're calling it Tiger number 10. I don't understand if that is the 10th one. It's 10 feet long. The model is 10. I really don't know. But it breaks their heart to sell it. Changing up their vehicle situation. Mm-hmm. Bought it in 21 from the original owners. It's got a remanufactured 4.3
Chevrolet.
This also
Chevrolet has a 4.3 in it.
V6.
Yeah, the other one.
Just so we're clear. It's got a 4L60, four-wheel drive, manual locking hubs, bunch of interior crap, you know, and some tags. It's okay. Outside, pretty good condition. Looks pretty nice. Inside, not updated,
of
is
the
what
era.
I'll say.
Yep.
Yeah, it is very original. Has got a shitter. Yeah, it's pretty nice. What I noticed is there's no, like, the walls stop at a certain height because it's a pop top. I don't know how comfortable that would be. But
you can see right over the top of that when you got somebody taking a shit in there and you come walking in.
Depending on your height, you could see from
you might
inside
be able to see
there
over
too.
The top of it. Yeah.
Got a rotating captain's chair that's
a little
rough.
Some better days.
Typical gross Astro Van dash.
Yeah.
Stove, fridge, pop top. Yeah, there's been a dog in it, which I'm not opposed to, but I'm just saying for people thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The sleeping situation in this one is interesting. I've seen a couple of these layouts where it's like,
it's definitely the dinette
converts into a bed.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. I would want like maybe something up top, but whatever. There's a picture of it in the snow.
There's not enough overhang over the cab because the cab is so tiny
that it can have
a bed up there.
Does it? Maybe it does, and I missed it. There's no picture of that forward area, really.
Oh, there is
a bed up there.
Yeah, it does have
there's a bed.
There's
okay,
a
that's
a single up there. All right, that's not too bad.
It's fine. I think one of these would be cool to make into, you know, something a little more aggressive looking. Something a little tall, big wheels, that kind of big tires, that kind of stuff. But it's 22 grand. Jeez, I thought it was 10 grand for some reason. It's a lot of money. They're proud of these tigers.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
So
I think it's a no from me.
Not even here?
It doesn't do it for me.
I think I came in hot on this, but I think it might be a no for me too. I like the idea of it, but I just honestly, I think it might not be nice enough for me, which I hate to say, but like I just looking at that
Mr.
interior
Uppity over here.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if I could get into that
right there.
The shitter specifically. He's got a toolbox there, so you can use it as a squatty potty.
That's nice. Or you could just tinker with the tools.
You got to read something while you're in there, you know? Yep. No service and all that.
Yep. Aaron, is this your dream RV to tour the country?
Ooh, I have my
Ultra 4 with
this. Yeah, my retirement RV. Kind of with you on it, Sean. I like the idea behind it, and I'm not familiar with these, and I kind of like the layout of it a little bit, but it's a swing and a miss for me. Hmm.
Sean does love a pass through, but not enough for him on this one for that amount of money.
It's not quite nice enough. So
I need like an Instagram build on this thing where they like put some Home Depot cabinets in it and stuff, and I'm probably in
some real nice work,
some hardwood floor and some twinkle lights. I think I'd probably be in then.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna take it a totally different direction once again. I think so. This is an '86 Samurai 10K, it's out in Brookings. We've got a 1.6 16 valve Sidekick motor in it, Toyota axles, chromo shafts. 40-inch IROCs, bead locks. So it's kind of like
like a super four, not an ultra.
Well,
four.
this is like the playbook for a samurai.
For a good samurai,
like for a good Whelen samurai. Like this guy has done everything. Like even YJ Leafs, because they're longer, surprisingly. YJ Leafs are not that long, but for a samurai
they are.
They're pretty long.
It's got the 6.5-to-1 transfer case gears, which is
four
like
link
the
rear,
samurai
four
thing.
Tens, 6.5 transfer cases. cradle, upgraded transfer case mount, razor seats in it with harnesses because it's small enough for razor seats. Yeah, 19-gallon fuel cell, which would probably last longer than the 40 gallons in that Ultra 4.
Considerably.
Milwaukee pack out mount spare tire, front and rear winch, bunch more done. I have front and rear rock assaults for it. Extra third members. Everything to three-link the front, hydro-assist ram and pump, shock hoops, air shocks, and more parts I'm missing. So basically tons of shit to come with it to build it even better. Plus, it's already a turnkey crawler, 10K with all the extra parts, or we can work out a deal. Might sell parts separately, too. Trade for hot rod? Question mark. So he doesn't say how much it's stretched, but it's definitely stretched.
Oh yeah. That first picture didn't look like 40s, but now it kind of does. It still looks kind of small,
which is good.
It's good. I mean, it's nice. I like it. But
yeah, it's got the like the truck cab back on it. Aluminum radiator. There's his PSC stuff. There's his links. Okay. So the stuff that's coming with it's not exactly.
It's just sitting on the bottom of his welding cart.
Yeah, it's just extra stuff, you know. These shocks probably need rebuilt. But those are air shocks too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are air shocks. So here's a little video, a little walk around. It is funny how it makes the 40s look small.
Yeah, because like,
which is hard for a Samurai, I feel like.
It is. What's Kate's car has like 36s on it, and it looks that big to me.
Yeah. The spare looks huge, but the tires on it do not.
Yeah, it's weird.
Huh. But I mean, shit, those.
Look at that square body in the background.
Yeah, got a little damn rims on that thing. Dang. The Rock Assault axles, I mean, I guess they're just the housings, but I mean, that's.
That's all you need. He's got the rest of it.
Yeah, that's fucking just those housings themselves are like $1,400 a piece or something like that, I think.
Something like that. Yeah.
So
it's cool. I'm always a little perplexed when someone four links the back of something and leafs the front of it. That weirds me out.
Well,
I don't know why you would spend.
It was probably like, so it was probably a stages thing, right?
Like
they're
stretching it.
Leafs all around to begin with. And then they went to stretch it, and the smartest way for them to do that, because the whole thing's fucking tube on the backside for the most part at this point, just go ahead and link it and put air shocks on.
Yeah.
So I think it's like one of those, it's in progress, but he's wheeling it all at the same time as he's building it.
Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose. It just always seems so backwards to me. I would just.
Yes, I will.
In my head, I always think you would do the front. But
yeah, I always think that, like, when. So, say you're going to solid axle swap a 100 series or a Sequoia, something like that, right? That are coils in the back.
Don't.
Yes, it's really easy to leaf spring SAS something, but don't put. Why? Like, having leafs in the front and coils in the back, it makes zero sense.
Yeah,
so
understand that.
I'm with you on that thought process. But like I said, I think it's a, I'm building it, I'm wheeling it every weekend, and then every other weekend I'm building it instead, like things like that, you know. So it's just progress that he didn't accomplish yet.
I have a little question. What's the advantage of the air shocks to the others?
No, you don't need springs. It is the spring and the shock. Okay. Yeah. So packaging reasons, they're pretty great.
Yep.
Disc downsides, really like not the ideal solution for both of those things. So like going fast, bad, going street, bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They tend to stay loaded to one side if they don't have the sway bar. There's some like weird stuff. But for like a light buggy kind of situation, they're the best. Like there's like cons of the packaging is so good that there's no, the downsides are, especially like the adjustability, are pretty minimal compared to the upsides there.
Yep.
Pretty cool though. I think that if I was looking for a dedicated wheeler project,
okay,
this could be in the running. Like it is a little bit weird that it's like chopped off and it's the pickup you know, type cab thing. Mm-hmm. Don't love that, but I could get over it. It's not like you'd be camping with it or anything. I don't love an exo cage, but it is a tiny vehicle and it kind of makes sense. All the extra parts are kind of cool. I think it's kind of reasonable. I think if you could offer, I know that money doesn't matter in this scenario, but I think if you could offer that guy like $8,000 or something, it's mm-hmm. probably worth every penny of it.
Yeah.
If you needed, if you wanted a dedicated Wheeler that is, you know, technically registerable at least, I think it's a good little rig. I think it's cool. So I would, I'm not going to in my current, you know, just whatever situation or like, but I could see a world where I would pay money for this for sure.
Okay. Okay.
So you're not going to sell that that road bike, huh?
No, I won't. Well, remember, I bought the cheaper one.
Just so he could get this.
I bought the new one, I don't know. But
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know, something else about little crawlers like this, you don't need a huge rig to tow it.
Easier to tow you could,
like Aaron could tow this with the 100 series. Mm-hmm. You know, I could tow it with my little Colorado and I wouldn't feel like too terrible about it. You know, get a little trailer that's just barely big enough for it and that's it. You know, and it would, you could tow it with
this thing would be a blast in any condition too. Like,
oh yeah, it'd be a
even though it's on air shocks, it'd still be fun in the sand. Like it'd still it'd just be neat. It's like a, it's kind of like a side by side, but slower and tippier and
but looks cooler.
But looks cooler.
And, you know, more capable for sure.
And you could put an LS7 in it if you want.
If you want.
Just like the Ultra 4 Bucky.
Yeah. And I think for those reasons that I am also in. I've always had a thing for little samurais, especially when they're built out real crawlery. I like it.
I'm on the fence on this one, guys. Ooh, I just
do you need to see the pictures here? I'll cycle through the pictures again for you.
You always got to keep cycling. That helps.
Yeah. Just kind of. I mean, it's got a pretty good amount of flex. Back it does in the back. See,
and so I'm with you on. I like this the small samurai things. I think they're cool. And
those rock assault axles.
Yeah, coming with those housings
big
too.
Big money.
Yeah. Let's do it, boys. Let's get it.
Okay. All right. Aaron,
also, we approving everything today. Is that what's
yeah. Wow. All right. Well, I think that sums it up. Aaron is in his midlife crisis, and he is ready to spend money on something cool. So we're just going to have to keep really riding him on the would you pay monies for this and see if we can get him to buy something really cool.
Aaron, I'm going to keep sending you bad Mark IIIs. So okay. Not really cool, but it, you know, arguably cool.
Well, and obviously I have not stopped sending him coupes.
Yes. You know, so
may the best crappy 90s Audi Volkswagen product win.
Yeah.